Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He has so many wonderful things to say to us, his people. He loves us. Never forget that God loves you. No matter what happens in your life, God loves you. No matter how people treat you, God loves you for you, not what you can do for him. He loves you because you are his child. He made you with great intentions, but you have to choose life. Now, many people have heard about Jesus Christ, and many people are angry when they hear the name of Jesus Christ, and they don't know why. I can tell you why. Satan is afraid of Jesus Christ. There is a darkness that covered the whole earth. And it's a demonic darkness. Because Satan is afraid of Jesus Christ, he's afraid of our redemption. He's afraid of us exposing him for the liar that he is. Because when people believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they are joined back together with God. And then the Lord can move in our lives, help us be a blessing to each other and to all people. And the Lord will work through our lives with our permission. See, when the Lord will work through people's lives, he's welcome to by his children. He can guide us into all truth. He can show us the things that's going on. The Lord can use your prayers. See, everything that God does, it has to be legal. He can't just do what he wants to. He's limited. He has to operate through men because God gave man authority in this earth. He gave us authority, and he has to work with our authority. Now, he can do whatever he wants to in heaven, but he gave man authority in this earth. And our first ancestor, Adam, bless his heart, he sinned. And that gave the enemy jurisdiction in our world. The enemy has stolen power. He got it from Adam. Because when Adam disobeyed God, acting on the influence of the enemy, that gave the enemy legal rights here. Satan has a right to be here. But God, Jesus came and stripped him of his authority. He went all the way down to hell and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he rose again to justify us. This is why we have authority. Jesus said, "All power in heaven and earth is given to me." And then in Acts chapter 8, he said, "And I've given unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, Satan." If a poisonous reptile or a poisonous bug bite you, you can claim immunity. And in Mark chapter 16, it says, if you drink any deadly thing, it can't kill you either. Now, this is by faith. So if you get bit by something, you have to take authority over it. You have to say something. And you have to believe the word of God and speak it. And your body won't respond to the poison. In Acts, I forgot which chapter, but there was a viper. It was in the late 20s, the latter chapters of Acts, somewhere between 20, 25, I can't remember, but Paul was on the island of Melita after his shipwreck, and a viper fastened onto his hand, and he shook it off in the fire, but he didn't die. And the people were wondering. They said, this man has done something evil, and vengeance has caught up with him. That was their first thought. But when they saw Paul shake it off in the fire and kept living and didn't swell up and didn't die, they knew that God was with him. And then the Lord used Paul to minister to him and work miracles. You know, a man was healed of a bloody flux. I don't know what that is, but it's bad. He was healed of it. And revival broke out. People started getting saved right there. Because he took authority over the enemy. This is your heritage. You can do it also. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be well known. You don't have to be old. You can be young. You just got to believe the word. If you can believe the word of God, you have the authority. And that's what Satan is afraid of. Satan wants to promote himself over God and take over everything. But he can't, because the Lord gave us authority over him. And there's nothing he can do about it. When you tell Satan to stop, he's got to stop. If he's aggravating your life somewhere, tell him to stop. You have to say something. Speak the word that God gave you. If you don't speak the word, then you're going to have problems that you don't have to have. This is your heritage. Now, it's not about taking authority over Satan, per se. But that's your enemy, and you have to deal with him as an enemy. But beyond that, live the life of God. Live the treacherous life of God. The word of God, if you treasure it and you read it and let it minister to you, if you receive it in your heart with the intent to adjust and do it, to honor God in love, the word of God will minister to you. You'll see things that others may not see. Even though the King James Version is written in Old English, it will minister to you, and you'll get used to the Old English. But they have the Bible translated in standard American English. They left a few scriptures out, sometimes key scriptures, but it'll get you started. And you can listen to the Word of God, and you'll develop an appetite for the things of God. You're going to learn so much as you study the Word of God. Studying the Word of God is not like another book. It's not like the average novel. It feeds your spirit. It gives you strength. And see, faith begins where the will of God is known. You're going to learn the will of God, and then you're going to learn to walk in it. You're going to learn to be blessed by it, and you're going to start seeing things in a greater way. Now, it's God's will for you to know him and honor him and be blessed by him. That's his perfect will for you. And if you follow him and do the things of God, you're going to learn things you can't learn any other way. Those who follow him, those who learn his ways and his word, when the Holy Spirit speaks to them, they have a reference of his love. Sometimes people don't have a reference of the love of God, because all the information they take in is worldly. And the people that they're looking at and learning from, they may not be trusting God. And people, it's easy to believe that God is not there when your first authority figures ignore him and act like he's not there. See, our first authority figures shape the way we see God, the way we receive from him. And so the enemy in 1960, a court case happened. And they wanted to take prayer out of school. The world didn't, Satan doesn't want people to know God. And his people who are worldly, they don't want, they respond to him. When people are reluctant against God, think about where that comes from. Why would a person be reluctant against God, who made us in the first place, and then he died to save us? He died in your place to redeem us from the death that we're going to have. The reason people die is because something happened. We were designed to live forever. When you go back to Genesis and read the Genesis account, it's true. It's not fiction. If it was fiction, it wouldn't minister to people's spirit. It's a reference of truth. And people who receive the truth, they know what I'm talking about. And people who won't receive the truth, They have no clue. They don't have a reference for it in this world. That's why you have to believe. You have to trust him. You have to. If a man can listen to a lying serpent, hear me good. If a man can listen to a lying serpent that spoke against God and had no credible evidence for what he had to say and act on it, he can trust God and act on his word. How much more should we trust the living God who made us in the first place and who died to get us out of the sin that we started? Why shouldn't we listen to him over a reluctant serpent or over a demon that we can't see? See, God, you can't see him with your physical eyes, but when you receive his word, you have an inner visual of who he is, a reference of peace, a closeness. And when he gives you knowledge, it's so beautiful, you know it didn't come from you. When he talks to me, I know that this knowledge didn't come from myself, because I can't think that high on my own. And when he gives me a message, I can feel it in my heart. When he first called me to the ministry, I didn't want to be a preacher because I didn't know what to do. I said, this is too important for somebody that don't know what they're doing. And I felt reluctant. But honestly, I also felt his peace. He woke me up. He gave me a dream and woke me up. And he said, behold, you are my child. I have chosen you, and you shall be a vessel of honor. And I said, Lord, why me? What am I going to do? What kind of preacher am I going to be? He said, follow me. And I went and got back into bed. When I got out of the bed, I went to the living room and started praying. When he said, follow me, I got up and went and got into bed, because I had to follow him to find out what I had to do. Now, I was not interested in being a preacher. Months went by before I preached my first sermon. And then when he gave me what to say, from that moment, I've been interested in preaching, because I saw that God would give me something to say. And so the early years of ministry, when people would invite me to minister, my dad was a pastor. I preached at his church, and I preached a few other places. But when people would invite me to minister, it didn't happen often. See, people don't let young ministers preach that much. But when somebody invited me, I knew I was going to hear from God. And all my messages were short. I would get up there, and I would speak what God had to say, and then I would be quiet and sit down. Because I saw how people argue the word of God. Even Christians have two opposing views of the word of God. But the only thing that will work in your life is the pure intended meaning of God's word, what the Holy Spirit meant. I call it the spirit of the word. That's true. If you live by that, it will build your life. If you minister speculation of the word or echo what you heard somebody else say, that's a wrong interpretation. The Holy Spirit can't use it to promote your life. But there's life in the pure intended meaning of God's word. Among ministers, they call it the rightly divided word. But the spirit of the word is life. What God said and what he meant is life. And so to keep the confusion down, even if I had a biblical opinion, I would minister what God say the way he said it. And then I wouldn't keep talking about it, because then I could meander back into my own thoughts. I would stop right where God left off, and I would go back and pray and learn from it. And as I operated in it, it worked. Now, here's another little secret I learned. When the Lord did speak something to me, I could feel it in my heart. I could feel that message from the time I was invited, and then when the Lord would invite me to minister somewhere, and then the Lord would give me a message, and I could feel it, and I could feel it like fire shut up in my bones. And a lot of you preachers know what I'm talking about. And I'd meditate on it. And I could feel that word until the day I had to minister it. And once I got through preaching it, then I was relieved. I felt like I had something to do until I could. It was a good feeling. I could feel the fire of God's word in my chest, literally. It felt good. It was a strong peace. It was a strength from the inside. It was real. And then time happened. Over time, people didn't. Sometimes if you preach at a church and it comes and it seems to be effective, you may not get invited back. And a lot of you young preachers know what I'm talking about. You're not getting invited back if you do too good. And that's a shame. So sometimes I wouldn't get invited back. But I preached what God told me. I knew that and I lived by it and it worked in my life. The Lord was working with me. See, I'm telling what happened. And this is the time to do it. And I was confused. I said, Lord, you gave me a message. And it seemed like I told the pastor, whatever the pastor was, that the Lord gave me a message. And he made light of it. And I'm still feeling the fiery burning word in my heart. And it would last until the day I was supposed to be preaching. Hear me good, folks. I could feel that word burn in my heart till the moment that I should have been preaching. When that passed by, it would lift up. More messages came from God that I didn't preach than the ones that I actually did preach in those days. What's wrong? A darkness has covered the earth. I have run into Cain jealousy. Not just me, many people. Cain jealousy. That's all I can call it. If the Lord give you something, and then the people of God that love God don't want it, what's wrong? Something is wrong. Now, if you listen to me on the Brock, you know how I preach. I say what God give me. And sometimes it hit the spot. Well, those kind of messages, it would have been the same way. I ran into so much reluctance, I got used to it. But I would feel the word until it was time. See, the audience was there that God had gathered. But see, the Lord taught me this. He gave me a reference. But one day he said, the biggest problem among my people is my people don't follow me. God is not in charge of the average Christian's life. I'm sorry. He tell them to do something, they do something else. He tell them to do something, they do it their way. He give them something to do, they argue and say, Lord, I can't do it. And they want a crawfish back. You know, the crawfish run backwards. And it's time now for people to wake up and see and hear God out. The Lord is mightily moving by His Spirit, and His people are missing out because they're not listening to Him and obeying Him, seeing it through. It's time now for God's people to go forward. You know, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com, newlivingletters.com. And they're free. Everything is free on the website. And I made it that way because people want to know God and people are playing games out there. People are not following God like they could. And it's not, people are dying. Divorces are happening because people are doing it their way and not God's way. When the Lord said, my people don't follow me, I had a reference for what he was talking about. That's a negative thing to hear, but it was true because it came from the Holy Spirit let me in on what to me was a secret. And I ran into so many wonderful men of God that were going through the same problem. They teach the word of God, but it's like that once they did, they got ousted. Why? Why would people be so reluctant to hear God out and obey him. But the Lord loves us. He's patient. He cares about every one of us, even those who are hard-headed. But the darkness, you know, a lot of times people could have been blessed at the most strategic time. But God did his part to get the message to them. But some pastors would not follow through. Cain jealousy don't come from God. And I learned, I said, Lord, if you ever put me in a position to minister your word to many people, I'm not going to act like them. I love everybody. I treat everybody as if they're important. Even if you just got saved, if the Lord used you, I'm going to thank God for you. I'm going to listen to you. I will hear you out. And thank God for you being obedient and for giving me what I do this all the time. This is not just something every now and then. When people of all ages have spoken things that bless me. I don't believe in Cain jealousy. That's serpent works. I'm not a serpent. I'm a man of God. I'm going to be a man of God all wherever I am. I don't have to apologize for being a man of God. I love him. That's just the way it is. But people are missing out because people are doing what they want to do in the name of the Lord. They want God to agree with them. But when you study the word of God, it's no different than what happened in the days of old. King Saul was selected to be king over Israel at their request. They wanted a king. All right. God gave him a king. God gave him instructions. And even the judges before the kings, people tried to make a king out of them. They would not accept that because God didn't ordain for people to be kings. That's something that man wanted to do. They were not qualified. See, the enemy is slick. If a man has power, he can leverage him. And he can call, see, the kings of Israel, when you study 1 Samuel all the way to 2 Chronicles, you're going to see a pattern. There were some kings, they were righteous, and when they had a righteous king, the whole nation did good. But when they had a wicked king, they got in gross idolatry. They were killing their babies, setting them on fire to the false god Molech. And they were doing evil. They were partying. They were doing evil when they had evil kings. And God had to let the whole nation go into captivity and bondage again and again. And then people would rise up, follow God, and he'd get them out of trouble. Then they'd go right back to it in another generation. On average, every 40 years, Israel had a war because Satan was trying to destroy that country. He's still trying to destroy God's people now. And if he couldn't stop the church, he'll try to lie to it so that people won't understand. It's very important that you learn to follow God and stick to his plan. And you can be part of a great and mighty move of God. You don't have to be like those who seek to do the worldly way. You don't have to be stubborn in your ways anymore. Because God loves you for you. And you matter to him. He cares about you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to understand his ways. But he can't make you do what you don't want to do. But he can bless you if you follow him. If you learn to trust him, you're going to learn him. You're going to learn his ways. You're going to learn to do what he does and be just like him. Now, everywhere we go and all that we do, we can be doing the mighty and living works of God. Every man is precious to God. God loves us. He died for us, and he means that he really loves us. And when people get saved, the angels rejoice. Even the old wicked people that everybody hates, when they get saved, the angels rejoice. Don't be so fast to count people out. That's not of God. Jesus said, I say come, and my people say come. Get over the animosity. Forgive people that did you wrong. I forgave all the pastors, every cotton picking one of them, that didn't follow God. I was angry at the betrayal and the disobedience against the Holy Spirit. But I knew that God still loved the people. And I love them too. Not only did I love them, I prayed for them. And I even learned from some of them. I was blessed by them. But I said, if I ever get to be in a place where I can be a blessing to people, I'm not going to act like they act. If you act on fear, you're not acting on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. If you act on any form of fear, if you act on any doubt, any unbelief, if you do these things, you're not act. That's not acting according to the Word of God. But the Word of God is love and faith and truth. Yes, all of God's creation, His people are very important. Not just those who are good, but those who have been forward. He loves them. We need to represent His love at all costs. Whatever happens, we need to represent the love of God. And the Word of God will give us strength to do it. All the strength we need to do this, the Lord will supply us for it, with it. He'll supply us with the strength we need to love our people. Not just those who are favorable, but those that are unfavorable. Those that are rude. Sometimes people are acting out. Not trying to make excuses for people, but sometimes people act out because they've been hurt by something else. If the church ever learned not to take it personal, then the Lord will supply us with His strength and what to say. And how, see, if you study what Jesus did and how He responded to people, the Word of God will help us respond. Everything that Jesus said, whether it was a rebuke or whether it was kindness, whether it was favorable words, it was always appropriate. It was always Holy Spirit appropriate. And the Lord will do the same things to you. But see, it starts with your love for people. If you love your children, tell them the truth. If you love them, correct them. If you love people, say what's right. Do what's right. Be honest. Don't just walk away wounded and then start talking about them. That's not godly. Don't start slandering people. That's not God's way. And I had to learn all these things when people hurt me and when people did things the wrong way. I felt the fire of God. I felt that fire, I felt His word like fire shut up in my bones. I wanted to preach that word. The audience was there. And then another Sunday, I wouldn't be able to preach it. And then it would lift. And I felt disappointed because I really wanted to obey the Lord. And when God gave me assignments that I could minister, and I didn't have to wait on somebody to ask me to come preach, I felt relieved. When He gave me the Living Letter Ministries, I used to write down what the messages God would give me in a writing and pass it out. I felt useful again. And then when He gave me this radio broadcast assignment, I said, oh boy, I'm going to enjoy this. And I thank God for it. I love it so much, I have to work to pay for it. And things don't always go my way. One of my biggest problems when the Lord told me to do this, I said, Lord, I want to be a current with my payments. And many times I am, sometimes I get it done. God helps me, and I thank him for it. And I rebuild engines and fix cars to do this. I take the life of God serious. So your life is, I have revelation that God loves you. And you need to love him and learn. You can't trust somebody you don't know. You need to get to know him for yourself, not just by the ears, what people have said about it. Sometimes people represent him wrong, but you got to study the word for yourself so you'll know him for yourself. And you'll love him with the sincerest form of love for yourself. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. The next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is Lord, and the Lord loves you for you.